Welcome to episode 194 of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast for the week of June 25th, 2012. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. In the second of two episodes from Bike Press Camp 2012, held recently in Deer Valley in Park City, Utah, I've got interviews for you with Camelback, Cliff, Gore Bikewear, Cali Protectives, She Beast, and Nog. If you missed episode one, make sure you go back and listen to it because this is episode number two and you don't want to miss a single one of these interviews. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder because here comes this week's episode of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. Hey, fellow Freds, where are you? Oh, right. I just listened to you in episode number one of two. This is our second episode from Bike Press Camp recently held in Deer Valley right here in my hometown, my adopted hometown of Park City, Utah. It's just a great time to get together with a lot of old friends and to meet a lot of new friends. There are a lot of new faces there this year, some new folks from the media, and it was just great to spend time with everybody. And yes, of course, I saw a lot of great brands in the bicycle business, and I'm happy to be able to bring you those interviews with those brands. If you missed episode number one, go back and listen. This is episode two. But before we get to all of that, as we always have to do every week, it's time to thank our show sponsor, Jensen USA. At jensenusa.com/thefredcast. Now, first of all, a lot of the brands that you're going to hear about here, believe it or not, they are available at Jensen USA. And of course, that's because Jensen USA has an incredible selection of products for all your cycling needs at great prices with unparalleled customer service. You know, beyond the brands from Press Camp, I was talking to the guys at Jensen USA recently, and they were telling me about some screaming deals that they've got on some really nice mountain bikes, specifically the 2011 Jamis XCT mountain bikes. Go ahead and check those out. Just go to jensenusa.com/thefredcast, and where it says search by keyword, just put in Jamis. And X as in X-ray, C as in Charlie, and T as in Tango. You're going to find some screaming deals, 30 to 37% off on some very high-end mountain bikes. Go ahead and check those out. I think that you will find them to be really, really nice deals. And I think that you'll really be interested to check those out. So if you're in the market for a new mountain bike, it looks to me like these deals just can't be beat. So go ahead and check it out. Those are the Jamis Dakar, D-A-K-A-R, XCT mountain bikes from 2011 at 30 to 37% off. You can't go wrong. Well, you can't go wrong with most things at Jensen USA. Go ahead and check them out. JensenUSA.com/thefredcast or go to thefredcast.com and click the Jensen USA link on the right-hand side of the page. As always, we thank you for supporting Jensen USA and we thank Jensen USA for supporting the Fredcast. Well, let's get started right away with our interviews from this year's edition of Bike Press Camp. Our first interview is with our old friends at Camelback with some new items for 2012 and 2013. Every year at Press Camp, we stop by Camelback Suite because Seth always has something new to show us. And Seth, you've got a lot of new stuff to show us next year. This year, we're looking at the Volt, which is a new pack for Camelback. Tell us about it.
Yep. So the Volt 13LR is a 13-liter pack built around our brand new 100-ounce lumbar reservoir. And last year, you might have seen or heard about the Charge, which is a 70-ounce 2-liter version. Consumers, riders, athletes have all asked for a higher capacity reservoir so they can go all day with the lumbar carry. So we wanted to have an option that if you want to carry your water in the standard vertical format and a mule, that's great. If you want to have lumbar, now you can go all day with 100 ounces of water. So
you mentioned the standard vertical arrangement, the one that most people have been familiar with for years and years. When people first encounter a lumbar reservoir, what's their initial reaction?
If they haven't seen it, the first question is, what does that look like? And it looks like the head of a hammerhead shark, or as we've heard here, a manta ray. But what's cool about it is water is usually the heaviest thing you're going to carry in your bag. And stabilizing that weight around your hips is a great way to free up your shoulders for cranking up a hill or hucking a big drop. A lot of the gravity guys or fast and flowy riders like it because that weight's lower on your body and it doesn't tend to ride up as much when you hit jumps or get air. So it definitely is a unique look, and it's a testament to our ability to build any shape reservoir on site at our lab. So our R&D guys are having plenty of fun poking around welding different reservoirs up.
Some changes in the things that you've done this year with retention straps and where the bladder goes into the pack. Let's talk about that.
So for 2013, all of our lumbar packs will have a rear access lumbar installation. So that'll do two things. On the current charge that consumers can see now, it loads through the outside of the pack, which is great for fast filling. But we've heard from feedback that they want to have a little bit more cargo capacity. So by loading through the back panel, we were able to do a few things. One, you can run the cargo capacity the full length of the pack, so you can fit larger pumps and just more stuff. But in loading through the rear, we were able to incorporate our handle drop slot, which we use on a lot of our other packs that people have probably seen, which houses the antidote cap nice and stable and secure. It also keeps it flat and reduces a lot of that rolling or sloshing that people get when they hit turns. And then unique to all the lumbar packs is we have separate lumbar compression webbing that's run underneath the waist belt pocket, so it doesn't affect any of the cargo area. But you actually can tighten your waist belt, get that fit right, make sure the water weight's perfectly on your hips, and then cinch the compression down. And what that does is it, think of it as a webbing strap that really hugs the reservoir and pulls it right into your lower back. So as you drink and the size goes down, as you know, water disappears as you consume it, and that reservoir is going to go to zero at some point. That compression can say it's tight and updated as you ride, so you always have a firm, tight fit.
Makes sense. Did something interesting this year with helmet retention. Let's talk about that, because it seems logical, yet here it is for the first time.
Yeah, we've been working on a helmet carry solution for some time now. We wanted to make sure that we did it in a unique way, but a way that would really reach all of our consumers. And we have, as you know, a lot of different packs. So for 2013, all of our mountain bike packs, every single one on the line, comes with our helmet hook, which is basically a hook on either side of the pack. And what's great about that is it's simple. It attaches to the chin straps of your helmet, so any location of the strap, based on how large the pack is or how full you might have it, but you can carry a commuter helmet, a bucket, dirt jump, XC, whatever you want, because it attaches to the webbing rather than going through the actual shape of the helmet itself.
Sure, absolutely. Okay, now, also something interesting that I saw on a pack earlier today is something that you've done in the back as far as ventilation and comfort. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, thankfully it's not just one. We've redesigned the entire mountain bike line, so I think 2013 will be a big year for people to check out some of our new wares. But the big, big story of that line is the new NV back panel, which all of the editors here got at the camp. And it's a fully ventilated, articulating pack back panel that has individual pods that will pivot and rotate and ventilate through each platform of your back, basically. So for people listening, the simplest way to think about it is we wanted a pack that was going to curve when you bend over, when you're hammering, or when you stand up to go through a technical area. So it morphs like the vertebrae of your back, or like a lot of footwear does, and it really is just a dynamic way to carry weight nice and stable and ventilate your back and move with your body. So
yeah, and I'll have pictures on the website of that. For me, somebody who's, I mean, I'm a sweater. So to me, it looks like it's going to be a really nice innovation when I'm out on a ride. Christine was telling me earlier about someone who wore a gray t-shirt, went out and rode with this thing, and just tiny little circles where it contacted his back.
Yeah, that was Eric Dimmick. He works in our sales department at Camelback, and he went out and raced the 24 hours of Boggs. And that's part of the great part about working at Camelback is we have riders in the office that can test the gear before we go out and sell it to the consumers. And so he did what we call the gray t-shirt test and took out a heather gray cotton t-shirt, rode for 24 hours with the new NV back panel, and the only place he sweated was right where the pack touched his back, which was the idea. The rest of his back was pretty dry. So it was a great visual to look at the shape of the back panel and then the t-shirt, and it looked like basically a stamp was just stuck right on the shirt. So it was a cool visual for everybody in the office to check out that hadn't ridden it yet.
Awesome. All right. So we're gonna take a look at some women's stuff now. So Christine's going to come over and she's going to tell us a little bit about what's new in the women's line for Camelback this year. So what are we looking at?
Well, we have a lot of new stuff in the women's side for Camelback. So we have our new Spark, which takes the lumbar reservoir that had been so successful on the men's side and adds a women-specific product as well. So it has our 2-liter reservoir and ultra-lightweight materials along with our women's fit. And that's a really important thing for us. We make sure that any of the women's packs really are designed for women. So they have a narrow shoulder straps to really fit around shoulders well. They have an S-curve in the shoulder straps so that they kind of curve around on the front side, and they have soft touch. So if you're riding with just a tank top or some kind of open jersey, it really has a nice soft touch against your skin. Has all the features of the men's pack, so the compression that Seth talked about, the 2-liter reservoir, all the lightweight materials, helmet carry, all those pieces. So we're really excited about that pack for 2013. We also have, in addition to that, we've added a brand new Lux NV. And so this is our first time of taking that NV back panel technology, our really premium top end technology, and putting it into our women's pack. And we're really excited about it for women who want a really nice-looking pack but who also want all the technical features. It's not dumbed down at all. It has all the great stuff that the men's pack does, great custom build of for the women in the NV back panel. It's our really top-end biking pack for women.
You know, what's interesting to me is I was talking to some folks earlier this week about some women-specific items. And a lot of times the mantra is shrink it and pink it, right?
Yes.
And I'm not seeing that from Camelback. What's the thinking there?
Well, we really are dedicated to, if we're going to put out a women's pack, it is going to have a women's specific fit. It's going to have all the features that the men's pack does, and it's going to be specifically designed for women. And so we have women in the office who, as Seth was saying earlier, we have women who ride, we have women who do all kinds of sports. We actually take the product out and we test it. And so we have a pretty strong philosophy and a very high standard of what we put out for women. If it's going to be a Camelback women's pack, it's going to have a women's specific fit and it's going to have the technical features.
So you're not just going to be riding with something that was a little bit smaller, repurposed, but it's going to be uncomfortable. You're going to get something that's really comfortable from Camelback.
Absolutely. And I think because we have riders and because we have, you know, women who do the sports in the office, we get that feedback right back to our developers, and they know that they're going to hear about it if there's anything that's not fitting right with women.
Yeah, and she walks the walk because you're riding with the Lux NV right now, aren't you?
I am. I actually got out on it yesterday. It's a great fit. It's a great pack. Fit everything I needed to in it really comfortably and felt great on my back. I was going down all kinds of terrain, and it was a lot of fun. It was fantastic.
So it's always good to see you guys from Camelback. Seth, Christine, thanks a lot. Where can people find more information?
They can find it at camelback.com. We have all kinds of information up, and we'll be posting as these products get out. We'll be posting more and more information about it.
Sounds great. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Another brand we have the opportunity to see every year at Interbike, an outdoor retailer, and also at Press Camp is Clif. And always they have something new, lots of new products. Every time I see Chris Randall, it's great to sit down with him because I get a chance to try a lot of this stuff and bring the new information to you. So here's Chris Randall, my interview with him from Press Camp. Every year we stop by the Clif condo at Press Camp and we're talking with Chris Randall as we do every year. And every year, I don't know how you do it, but you always come up with something new. New for this year, considering it's an anniversary year for you, is something specific that Gary wanted to make. Talk to us about that.
That's right, David. This year is our 20th year in business, so we're extremely proud of that. And our flagship product, new product for the year, is called Gary's Panforte. And it's a very different Clif bar, and it's inspired by Gary's travels in the Italian Dolomites when he's always gone over there and ridden his bike on a white road style journey, which is, you know, just him, his bike, a small backpack. He stays in youth hostels, and when he's done that throughout the years, he's always enjoyed Italian panforte or strong bread. In the States, it's a bit like a fruitcake, which is, you know, a dense bread with dried fruit, and it's got some spice to it, things like cinnamon, cardamom, white pepper. All things that make it very different than any of the other Clif bars that you've ever tried. And the nice thing about it is it's a little bit less sweet. It's got more spice to it. So it's very unique. It's going to be a limited edition offer from us. It's actually available on store shelves right now. We think it'll be on shelves from, it'll probably run out in the fall, September, October, so definitely get out there and try it now. It's just one thing that we wanted to have fun with and to be different in our 20th year. We like to do things differently and always play and experiment, and Gary's Panforte is certainly that. So that's available now, so definitely try it. Switching gears a little bit, in terms of Blocks, which is our chewable product, we're the leader there in that space, and what we wanted to do this year was, as a leader, come out with something that's totally new and different. So we're going to be introducing a chocolate cherry Blocks flavor, which will happen in the fall around Interbike timing. And right now, as you know, all of Cliffshot Blocks and the competitive products out there are basically fruit-based, and we wanted to mix it up a little bit and figure out how can we bring chocolate into the mix, because we know everybody loves chocolate. We know from gels, chocolate is a very popular flavor. So it took us a little while. We got in the kitchen. We worked out how to bring that chocolate forward. It's more of a bitter chocolate than a milk chocolate. And then combined with that cherry, it's just a great combination. It's also going to have 50 milligrams of caffeine across three pieces or one serving, and one fast pack is a double serving, so that's going to give you 100 milligrams of caffeine in one packet. And as a benchmark, a can of Coke has 50 milligrams of caffeine, so it's equal to two cans of Coke or a 12-ounce cup of coffee. So it'll really get you going and taste good at the same time. Then moving over to Builders, which is our 20-gram protein bar, that's doing really well for us, and so we brought out three new flavors: peanut butter, chocolate chip, and s'mores. Those are available now. And generally, protein's on fire overall, plus our Builders bar is doing well as well. And really the reason for that is because athletes are really beginning to understand before, during, and after activity, and each nutritional thing that they need in those different segments. And the after portion is where Builders really shines. Athletes need a good hit of protein afterwards to come back stronger for their next ride. And the other thing that we want to remind people is it's not just about protein, but it's also about carbohydrates. And so we actually have a good hit of carbohydrates in the Builders bar as well, so that you can refill the tank with carbs and help rebuild muscle with protein. So the two go together. So that's kind of the new products under our performance nutrition. And then switching gears over to performance snacking, which is great for everyday health and wellness, we've got Kit's Organic, which is a brand new brand from us. And Kit is the co-CEO of Clif Bar and Gary's wife. And she grew up gardening with her dad, and that was a big source of inspiration for her. And so she was the visionary behind this new product. And it's a very simple, straightforward proposition. It's a fruit and nut bar, and each flavor has between 4 and 5 ingredients, and that's it. Very simple. You got things like almonds, cashews, dates, and sea salt. That's the ingredient deck for the cashew flavor, for instance. So it's a great snack. Each flavor comes in under 200 calories. They're dairy-free, soy-free, and gluten-free. So a lot of folks in this space where they want a simple product, they're asking for those things to be excluded, and that's what we've provided in this product. Those are available now. They're going to be available in the specialty channel, so outdoor bike and run, as well as the natural channel. And they're coming 4 flavors: peanut butter, berry almond, cashew, and chocolate almond coconut. And they're a great flavor, not too sweet, nice and moist. So that's kind of the wrap up of the new things that we have this year. Like you said up front, we love to do new products. We love to keep people surprised and happy, and hopefully we've done that again this year.
Absolutely, great. And once again, tell everybody where your website is so that they can get more information.
Yeah, you can find more information on all these great products at www.cliffbar.com.
Just one F.
Just one F.
Thanks, Chris. Always great to see you.
Okay, thanks, David. Take care.
When you think about Gore, you think about Gore-Tex, and you think about dental floss, believe it or not. And some of you may even think about brake and derailleur cables. But a lot of people don't think about Gore Bikewear as a brand. And that's why it's great to sit down with them and learn a little bit about their brand and about their products. I find that they're very well-engineered pieces of apparel. We had a chance to sit down with the guys at Gore Bikewear and talk about their product line for 2012 and 2013. I'm in the Gore Bikewear suite. We're talking to Jason, and we're talking a little bit about the company. I find it every year interesting to sort of go through a little bit of the history and the engineering and design aspects of Gore. So let's just talk briefly. I know we've talked about it before. What are Gore's roots? Where did the company come from, and how did they arrive at making bike clothing?
Yeah, it's important to know about Gore, I guess, that everything they do comes from polytetrafluoroethylene. That's the name of the material. That's the Gore-Tex membrane. It's expanded polytetrafluoroethylene. Gore's first product was using PTFE for wiring insulation and old ribbon wiring. And the whole company has really grown from there based on finding new applications for this material. So that's it's the rain and sun covering over the stadium at Wimbledon. It's lining for chemical warfare suits for the military. It's Glide dental floss. You guys have probably, a handful of people have probably used. So the entire business is based on this material. And it's... it's turned into a pretty big business for them. It's a good sized business, and of which bikeware is a small but important part. Bikeware is among the handful of Gore products that are consumer facing, that are public facing, and so there's a bit of notoriety in that, and it's an opportunity for Gore as a company to show their capabilities.
But at the same time, you're selling your fabric technology, your membrane technology, to other apparel companies. So why make your own?
I think there are enough clothing manufacturers, there are enough different types of end users in the marketplace that we found ways to serve the market that maybe other clothing companies haven't. And at the same time, being a full line clothing manufacturer gives us an opportunity to showcase the capabilities of our products, and that actually helps with sales to other manufacturers as well. So it's a big enough market, and there are enough players in it that there's not a huge issue of competition, and we can all play well together in that space. And save for the challenge of deciding what garment is right for you, the consumer really benefits from all the choice and options.
Speaking of which garments are right for you, I know that you've got different lines depending on the type of cyclist, the kind of cyclist that you are. What about the integration among those lines from one garment to the next?
Yeah, with Gore, we've grown from our first product was on the cycling stuff anyway, was a rain jacket 25 years ago. It was the first Gore-Tex rain jacket that was cut specifically for a cycling, an on-bike kind of fit, and giving that waterproof, breathable performance. And we actually sponsored the team at the time. It was a couple of years the predecessor to the Rabobank cycling team. So it was orange rain jackets right out of the gate. Since then, we've evolved into being a full-line cycling clothing supplier. And in that, we have a handful of what we call product families. Within those product families, whether that's the Xenon line for high-end road use, or Alpcross for high-end off-road use, or any of the other product lines down to entry-level performance products, within those families, we offer basically, it's a guarantee to the end user of system integration and product compatibility. And those are terms that usually you're thinking about, like drivetrains or hard goods or something like that when you hear those terms, but what it means in practice is that if you have a long sleeve Xenon jersey, we guarantee that when you buy the same size Xenon jacket, that the sleeve volume is going to be appropriate. That you'll pull the jacket on and your sleeves are going to fit together well. There will never be bunching. That the jersey sleeve is never going to protrude past the jacket sleeve and ruin your waterproofness or create a gap for wind to come into the jacket. That the seams at the cuff are not going to stack on top of each other. They won't create pressure. They won't add bulk. They're going to nest next to each other and be complementary. Then when you pull on the Xenon glove, it will be appropriate for volume with those sleeves, and that the seam will align appropriately as well. That you won't get, in the shoulder, you won't get seam overlap or seam crossing, which can cause discomfort. We think that if weather conditions change, your safety and visibility shouldn't. That you have 360 degree reflective visibility on the Xenon jersey. If it gets cold and you put on the jacket, you have reflectivity in the exact same places. No matter how you move around on the bike, you're never going to get a gap or an odd seam fit between jersey and bib shorts. I think you guys are getting the idea that through the whole line, it's integrated that way. And so it delivers a really comfortable, positive on-bike performance. But there's also a practical side to it in terms of buying and shopping, both for the bike shop and for the end user, in that Once you know which product family is right for the kind of cycling you do and your nominal sizes, you can buy with confidence any product in the line and know that you're going to get a good fit. So, you know, we know that not every retailer stocks every garment and every line from every manufacturer. And we know that consumers don't go in and buy a complete collection of clothing all in one shot. So you can buy a jersey and shorts in the summer. And if you like it and you're comfortable in it and you want to expand and have a jacket or arm warmers or leg warmers or whatever come fall, you can go to the shop and buy those same sizes with confidence and not even have to worry about it, maybe not even have to try them on. But if the shop doesn't have your size, your color, or the item that you're looking for, it also means you can buy online and avoid that situation of having to do multiple returns and deal with UPS or USPS, or the other way, which is you buy everything they've got, try and find out what works for you, and then return 80% of what you've purchased and have an angry customer service experience. Right.
Speaking of that, I'm going to move to Brendan here. I'm curious because I've bought garments from manufacturers in the past, and I'll find a size I like, as we were just talking about. I'll find a style I like, and then I'll go back to the store, and I'll want to find the exact same one. I lost the tag. I don't know which line it falls in. How does Gore address that?
So we've done a lot more with tying the lines together by the reflective hits on the pieces. So the Xenon family will get a consistent reflective hit throughout the series. The Highline mountain bike and Alpcross will get the same reflective hit. If customers ever have any questions regarding the line or consistent pieces in the line or material questions like Gore-Tex or Windstopper, we also have people that are standing by on the phones. If customers call 1-800-GORE-TEX, those guys can answer questions or at least point customers into the right area to locate those garments. If it's an older piece in the Xenon category, the fit and the function are still going to tie into the current pieces, but the reflective hits might be older versions that might not tie into the current one. So we can identify that. We can always help customers. We do have people standing by to help them out with that.
That makes sense. Now I want to talk about some of the features for 2012, 2013. You showed me a short sleeve jacket and we all sort of chuckled about it for a moment, but there's real engineering reasons for it. Explain that.
Yeah, it's a unique piece for us. So everybody comes in and looks at it and says, why a short sleeve waterproof jacket? It's the Xenon category waterproof jacket. So what we've done is we target a customer that's that race guy, the guy who's going harder efforts, needs more ventilation. And we found that that person doesn't really care if his forearms get wet. It's that jacket for that 50 to 60 degree day where it might be too hot to wear a full long sleeve jacket. That guy also wants to be able to whip a jacket out of his jersey pocket and put it on and take it off when it's done raining. So without the sleeves on there, we maintain a real core packability portion to the piece. But you know, most importantly, we want that ventilation aspect to it. So exposing those arms and minimizing the weight of the jacket are the two key features to that.
Why not make a vest?
With a vest, you can't create a waterproof seam at the shoulders. So, and also, if you're wearing a short sleeve jersey, those sleeves are sticking out of the vest. And when we're talking Gore-Tex for our company, we stay true to the waterproof aspect of it. So, if your sleeves are sticking out, those sleeves are going to soak up water, and that water is going to siphon into the inside of the jacket. Hence, you know, changing the waterproofness of the jacket. So, anytime we talk about waterproof, we are 100% hardcore about keeping it to that standard.
Now, when I look at your garments, obviously, there's fashion sense applied to all of them. There's fashion design applied to all of them. But the other thing that I noticed when I look at all of the garments, no matter what the line is that you've engineered the garments. It's not just a matter of fashion. What are some of the engineering elements? What are some of the special things that Gore Bikewear does in whether it's Gore-Tex or Windstopper? What are some of the things that consumers can expect?
That's a great point. I'll quote Jason on this one. We're not going to Milan to see what the new colors are and what the new fashions are. We're starting from a technical standpoint and body function. So we do a lot with understanding how the body responds to rises and drops in temperature. So when you look at our pieces, yeah, we do color blocking, but it's not based on how do we get to this color blocking. It's based on what materials are needed in the piece in specific zones, and then how can we take those materials at those specific zones and add color into the piece. So in our Gore-Tex, you'll see, in the Xenon jacket, we have a black and white version. So the black sections are stretch Gore-Tex, and all those areas are going to be stretch fabric, and the white portion is just going to be a standard non-stretch material. And we do the non-stretch material because it's in areas that you don't need all that stretch, and the non-stretch material actually lays better on the body. The stretch is in the zones where you need it. When you go into the windstopper category, when we talk about like the windstopper active shell jacket, you know, we went for a super lightweight packable piece. So in the torso, there is no mesh lining. We wanted a really lightweight structure there. There's no mobility needed in the torso, but up the lat area in the back and into the arms, you need more flexibility. So we need the jacket to flow over the arm better. So reaching down to grab your water bottle, reaching into your jersey pocket, you want that mobility. We added a really lightweight mesh in only those key mobility areas. So we still maintain the packability of that jacket. So yeah, you know, it follows, function. Not fashion.
So I'm going to spring this one on you. My wife's favorite pair of cycling shorts are Gore Bikewear. And I have a feeling that has something to do with not just the fabrics that you use, not just the way that you build the garment, but I have a feeling she's also talking about the padding as well. Are there certain things that you do with padding that are different, that are, in your opinion, better?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, that highlights the summer line for us, especially. So all of our pads are stretch pad. They're all EIT. We develop our pads with a padding manufacturer. We don't buy a stock pad. So all of our pads, actually, we put research into, and that's another secondary story that we're going to be starting to work on with coming seasons is telling that padding technology, because, you know, there, especially in our summer lines, there's a lot going on there that we just haven't really told a clear story about. And so, from the entry level, we're starting with a stretch pad. I don't know anybody else who has a short at, you know, around that $50 to $60 range that's using a stretch pad at the level that we're using it. And as you go up the line, the pads get more comfortable. But just as, you know, just as the line's based around function, the highest level pad in the Xenon is not our exactly most comfortable pad. So we don't use a big cushy sofa cushion pad in that line. We use a real fine-tuned, detuned pad that's got a firmer platform to it. That rider doesn't want a big sofa cushion that's pedal-robbing power. So we go with an anti-vibration foam, a denser foam in it. We strip that padding back, so we place it in only the key areas, and we go with a moisture-wicking end of that pad as well. So yeah, there's definitely a pad story for us as well.
You brought up price, and I think a lot of people have to think, with all this engineering, with all this technology, you guys must be astronomically expensive. Do you want to address that?
We can be. No, I think, that's another myth. I think, you know, you have to put it into the technology portion. I think for what you get in our top-of-the-line pieces, yeah, they are pricey. We are definitely not the most expensive line out there, but I think when you look at the thought and the technology and the benefits that you're picking up when you buy one of our pieces, the value is definitely there. So there is that. But we have an entry-level category. We have the contest line for road. We have a $60 short that has a stretch pad in it. On the mountain bike side, we have the countdown side that's got a great pad in it at a $100 baggie. You know, we've got jerseys that start at $60. So, you know, we cover the full gamut of customer. And I think that myth of that we're this really expensive company, I think, is great, because I think it adds value to the pieces when they flip over the price tag and they see something less than what they're expecting.
Great point. Something for everyone and everyone's budget. Where can people get more information? Because there's so much here. I mean, we can't even do it in a 15-minute interview. Where can people get more information besides their local dealer?
GoreBikeWear.com. That's our website. There's a dealer locator on there, and I encourage people to go to their dealers. As field sales, we spend a lot of time educating our customers, the dealers, and the shop people on the product. We have a lot of backup material that's available to those shops. The shops are a great resource for the product, but Gore Bikewear is also a great resource. Again, especially when it comes to Gore-Tex material, windstop material, 1-800-GORE-TEX, those guys can answer every tech geek question that you can possibly have, way more than what I can answer as a company rep. So,
okay, there's a challenge, everybody. Call that number and see if they can answer your question.
Don't tell them Brendan told
you. Yeah. Gentlemen, thank you very much for taking the time. It's always great to come and see what's new from Gore Bikewear.
Thanks a lot.
Speaking of apparel, if there's one thing or one kind of email that I tend to get from a lot of women cyclists, it's their disdain for apparel and other companies who, well, the terms I talked about it a little bit in the Camelback interview, the term is shrink it and pink it. And that's why it was great to see Jill Hamilton joining Press Camp on behalf of SheBeast, talking about the relaunch of their brand of women's specific clothing for cyclists. Here's my interview with Jill from SheBeast.
We're in the SheBeast suite at Press Camp. I'm talking to Jill Hamilton. Jill, I'm familiar with SheBeast because my wife and my daughters wear it. As a matter of fact, when my youngest daughter was in fifth grade and we rode across California, which was a blast, we went from the Arizona border to Carlsbad, she wore SheBeast because I knew that I wanted her to be comfortable and I wanted something that fit the female form. Now, with that introduction, no pressure, tell everybody about the genesis of SheBeast and about what the status of SheBeast is today.
Okay. Well, thank you. I'm so glad you guys are here to ask about this. But anyway, SheBeast was started in 97 by a woman, a very talented woman named Claudia Reed. Claudia was getting ready to do a 800-mile bike tour across China on the Silk Road.
So you're saying my daughter's, 200 miles across California doesn't count? What's the deal?
No, that's awesome. But at the time, back in this was, she was preparing for this in 1994. So at the time, there was nothing available for women. Women-specific anything really didn't exist. So she ended up buying a lot of men's clothing, a lot of men's cycling clothing, just to have something that would get her through this big adventure. Well, while she was on this adventure, she's a fashion designer. She decided, you know what? This is what I do. I design clothing, and I am going to go back, and I'm going to start a line specifically for women. And that's exactly what she did. And Claudia's background, before she started SheBeast, she worked for Wrangler, designing rodeo jeans, designing jeans for cowboys and cowgirls to ride in. In fact, she was charged with one of her assignments to get the fit right as she went to rodeos and she looked at the way women and men rode their horses, how the jeans looked in the saddle, how the jeans looked off the horse. And she articulated these jeans accordingly, for the most comfort and for the most style. So, that's kind of the background. And that theory is really carried forward into what SheBeast is today, that this brand has always been about the fit and it's always been about the style. And when Claudia was involved with SheBeast, she did dynamic fit sessions where she would set a model on a bike, on a trainer, and see exactly where each piece needed to articulate. Where there needed to be breathing room in the chest of a jersey, where there needed to be more fabric in the shorts so it didn't ride up. So she's the master of fit. Nobody does fit better than Claudia Reed.
And so from the time when she began the company until today, what changes have you seen? Where does the company stand today?
Well, Claudia took the brand, as far as she really wanted to take it, and she ended up selling it to a well-known distributor in late 2005, early 2006, I believe. She stayed on board for a while, eventually wasn't so involved. This distributor struggled a little bit. They had a lot of different brands. Eventually the company sold to a company in San Diego called Lemark Industries. It's the parent company of Canary Cyclewear. We purchased SheBeast in late 2011. So what we're basically looking to do, we're not looking to reinvent the wheel here. We recognize Claudia did something very, very special with her attention to detail and her fit and pieces that really fit, flattered and fit the female form. All of her pieces are feminine without being girly. So we're really not looking to reinvent that wheel, nor are we looking to just leave off where the previous company or pick up where they left off. We're really looking to go back. We took a good hard look at what Claudia offered in terms of styles. We're recreating those styles. We're using the same patterns that she used. In a lot of cases, we're using the same manufacturers too.
So whereas a lot of women maybe went to the traditional cycling apparel brands, and maybe they didn't find the right fit or comfort because they had simply adopted men's styles and just put them in pink. They're seeing something a little bit different from SheBeast, aren't they? So what can a woman expect when she goes into a store and buys her first kit from SheBeast?
Well, really, the first thing she's going to realize is fit. I mean, they're really, I can't say it enough. She's going to see the fit. And, you know, I think form follows function, that I think the comfort, you know, the comfort level that you get from a Shebe's garment comes from the superior fit that's involved. So that definitely is a big key. The pads that we use, I can't tell you enough. You know, I ride in our competitor stuff, and we have some wonderful competitors that are doing some wonderful stuff, but I notice a big difference when I sit in a competitor's pad and I go for a ride, and then the next day I ride in a Shebe's pad. It's supremely, supremely comfortable.
Okay, and we said shrink it and pink it. Are we just talking about all pink? I mean, I can see it, but tell the listeners what we're talking about, because you've got some really compelling styles.
Oh, okay. Well, shrink it and pink it, basically what that means is taking a men's pattern, sizing it down, making it pink, and calling it women specific. Our pieces are designed specifically for women. We're not using men's pads in the chamois. That's, you know, unfortunately, that is a common practice with some of our competitors, is they'll just downsize a men's pad, put it in a women's short, and call it good. Also patterning, they'll use a men's pattern, shrink it, call it good for a woman. That's not our theory. Everything is designed specifically for women. In terms of style, you know, There's always been animal print in She Beast, and we're continuing that this year with our Bellissima collection, with the Me Wow print. That's a beautiful leopard pattern. We've got some really awesome snake skin. We've got a peacock feather print. So animals have always been a big inspiration behind the She Beast brand.
And you can't tell, but she's wearing leopard skin at the moment. So, what about price point? Because a lot of times people think that, oh, well, if it's special, it's especially for women or especially for kids, that they're going to be talking about a higher price point. What about SheBeast?
Really, we have something for everybody. We have shorts that range in price from $65 up to $120. Obviously, you know, different variations of fabric and pad and whatnot to dictate higher and lower pricing. Jerseys anywhere from $40 up to $80. So SheBeast has always been positioned as a premium brand, but we're, you know, we also have something for every price range as well.
So where can people get some more information if they'd like to take a look at the line or maybe figure out where they can purchase SheBeast product?
Well, they can go to www.shebeast.com. However, right now, they're not going to see much on that site. We are relaunching with our spring 2013 line, which won't be hitting the stores until early next year, probably January next year. Our consumer website will be available come January 1st of next year, but they could definitely go to our Facebook page. They could follow us on Twitter. We do put little sneak peeks out there, so check us out on those social media sites.
And a few photos on threadcast.com as a result of today, and also, of course, on bikehugger.com with our video. And for those who are wondering, it's SheBeast. There's no A's in SheBeast.
There is no A's in SheBeast.
Jill, thanks so much for taking us through the line.
Thank you, David.
Another new brand at Press Camp this year, it was Cali Protectives. I really enjoyed talking to these guys. They have a really great story to tell, and they are coming at the topic of cycling helmets from some very unique perspectives and from an engineering background. And I just really liked the story that they had to tell and thought that their designs and concepts, well, they are top notch. So here is my interview with the guys from Cali Protectives.
I'm with Brad from Cali Protectives. He's co-founder of the company and lead engineer, although he doesn't like titles. And we're looking at a new line of bicycle helmets and some things that you're going to be seeing in your local dealers if you haven't already. And Brad was telling me a little bit about his background. Brad, you started working on some pretty high-tech stuff, both in the bicycle industry and in the aeronautical industry. Tell us about that.
Oh, I'm super lucky. I got to start my career on the B-2 bomber program. Move over to F-18s, Joint Strike Fighter, and high-speed civil transport. So some pretty awesome airplanes.
And then from there, you went into the bicycle industry, working for a large manufacturer you may or may not want to mention. But tell us a little bit about some of the projects that you worked on there.
Yeah, I had a great gig at Specialized. I started out in helmets, worked on those for many years, and was able to move on to work on some of their carbon fiber projects, like the Tarmac, the Robay, And when I left there, I was the head of engineering.
And from there?
Oh, started a carbon fiber factory in mainland China. And we make parts for motorcycles, and we started making bicycle helmet shells.
So you're originally making those for others. What got you interested in the idea of making your own helmet?
Well, we started looking at how motorcycle helmets were built and how they weren't in-molded. Bicycle helmets are in-molded. Why can't you in-mold a motorcycle helmet? Right now, at the time, you took the shell and foam separately and shoved them together. We found out it was a lot harder than we thought. It took us about 3 years to figure out how to actually in-mold a motorcycle helmet.
So just to clarify, in-molding simply means you've got the hard outer shell, you've got the inner foam, and it's a process of creating those two elements of the helmet simultaneously?
Not exactly, close. Essentially, it's taking the shell first. You build the shell on its own. Then you take that shell and insert it into the foam mold and then inject the foam in place.
And what's the benefit of doing that?
You eliminate the gaps between the foam and the shell. So now the structures work together. Rather than the shell having a job and the foam having a job, shell being to distribute the load, foam being to dissipate the energy, now they work together. So immediately on contact, you start to dissipate that energy.
And what's the benefit for the wearer in the case of an accident?
A couple things. Now the shell starts to dissipate the energy immediately on contact, so you get lower G-forces. We can use softer foam. We use a thinner shell because now the foam's behind it, strengthening up that shell.
So the result, it sounds like, safer, lighter helmet.
I'll stand by that statement.
Okay. Now, you've also showed me some other technology, some shapes that you mold in. Explain what that's about.
Okay. We use geometric shapes inside the foam. This was an invention by an Australian physicist. His name's Don Morgan. Great guy. And, you know, what we do is these cone shapes actually crush and send the energy laterally. So we want to move that energy away from your head.
So dissipating the energy, hopefully helping avoid concussions and other serious injuries that can result. Now, from what I can tell looking around the room, you've got a real base in motocross and motorcycle helmets. Was that where you started, and where'd you go from there?
Yeah, we did start with motorcycle helmets because our technology that we developed, the in-molding of the motorcycle, of the full-shell helmets, that technology leads itself to that industry. However, me being a bike guy, of course, we would lead that way. So from the motorcycle side, we immediately went to full-shell downhill helmets.
But now you've developed some cross-country helmets as well, and get ready, Fredcast listeners, a road helmet.
Exactly. Mike Wilson, one of the co-founders of Cali, is running Race Across America right now in our helmets. And he challenged me and said, hey, if you can do this lower density, softer foam in a motorcycle helmet, bicycle, downhill helmet, why can't you do it in a road helmet? And there's challenges. You know, with big vents, you still have to put enough foam to stop an impact. So what we've done is added some technology to reinforce those vents so that we can lower the density of the foam.
Tell me about that technology.
Okay, we call it SuperVent. And essentially what it is around the vent, we create a structure. So that structure allows that energy to spread over a much greater area rather than a very local impact. So now you're using much more foam rather than a small amount in a local area. That allows us to use a lighter or lower density foam.
So a lot of technology built into the helmet. A lot of thought and design patents. I think that a lot of people then are thinking, okay, so that makes for a more expensive helmet. How do you address that?
Well, when we start out, it does cost us a lot more. Mm-hmm. But just like in the motorcycle side, we've taken our technology, which originally was, you know, a $500 helmet, down to $150 because we learn more. We keep learning and we get better at it as we go. So we put as much technology as we can at every price point.
Excellent. So relatively young company, how long have you been around?
4 years.
And what are the plans for the future?
Well, we love making stuff. Well, we love making stuff. I mean, first and foremost, we're an engineering-driven company. You know, my R&D background from aerospace is we just like to work on new technologies. That's what drives me. That's what I get excited about. Not much of a sales numbers guy. Yes, we have to make money to survive. However, that's not going to be our driving force.
And so being a young company, people are going to start seeing this if they're not already in their local dealers, both motorcycle and bicycle. But in the meantime, where can people get just a little bit more information? Because I think you've probably whetted their appetites.
Yeah, please come to our website, and we can find a dealer for you. We do not sell consumer direct, so you can find a shop that will sell us at www.caliprotectives.com.
And that's with a K, so you have to explain the name, because it's not Cali like California. Explain the name.
Well, the name came from, my wife came up with the name from searching, and Cali is a goddess of chaos and destruction. So the line that I love when I researched this name was something about man's feeble attempt to control what is fundamentally uncontrollable. And that's just us. So,
and in a way, it's what happens when you crash as well.
We're trying to control the uncontrollable.
Thanks so much for taking me through the line.
Thank you.
Now, if you listened to the first of these two episodes from Bike Press Camp, you heard me tell you that I thought that the guys at Guru Bicycles had one of my favorite brands from this year's press camp. The guys we just talked to from Cali, another of my favorite brands at this year's press camp, and perhaps rounding out that trifecta is this next and final brand that we're going to bring to you from this year's press camp. They're the guys from Down Under, the guys who make the product called Nog. I hope you enjoy this interview with Mike from Nog.
We are in the Nog suite here at Press Camp, and Nog is K-N-O-G. I'm with Mike. Mike, tell me a little bit about that quirky but fun name.
So I should say Nog came from a bastardized form of British Aussie slang, and it's an expression for brains or noggin. And folks like my Uncle Bob, or my first professor, would often cut my ideas down with "Usey bloomin' noggin." And I turned their naysaying around, and Hugo did as well, sitting across there, and we shortened it to Nog, and then gave it the silent stealthy K, and that's K for kick, like our products, they kick.
And they do. We've just had a few moments to walk through the line. Just in general, Nog is known for having done a variety of different products, bags and apparel, but you've really refined the product offering down. Give everybody an idea of where Nog is today.
Today, Nog is, at the moment today, Nog is lights and locks. And the reason we did that, we said, okay, we're the core of the company is originality, and I suppose it's in our DNA to make a difference. So we said, what are we making a difference in? We said, we're making a difference in locks, we're making a difference in lights. And I said, okay, let's focus on getting those exactly right, and then start to consider where we go next.
So let's talk about lights first. You call them blinders for a reason. You've got one in this glass of water across from me. No, it's fine. You've got one in this glass of water across me, and they are really bright. Describe, again, because it's audio, describe a little bit about the blinder.
Okay, the blinder was, when we sat at the drawing board for the blinders, there's some key things we wanted to achieve with it. We wanted to reinvent bike lighting again and say, what can we bring to, I suppose, commuter 2B scene lights that is different? So we said, okay, it's got to be solid. It's got to feel great when you touch it in your hand. We were the ones who bought silicone as a method of attaching lights to bikes to the market. We said, okay, well, we're good with this. What can we do that's different? So we developed a different clasping system. So it has to be waterproof. So we made a 100% waterproof system. It needs to be USB rechargeable. So we integrated a USB recharging system into the light. And it has to be bright. And by bright, the front lights and the blinder fours run at 80 lumens. But that can either be a light that is pinprick, so it lights the path. We said, no, we're working with lights that we want to make lights that are easy, that make you visible on the road. So we've got a wide beam angle, runs at 120 degrees at 80 lumens, which means you're seen on the road.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And what's really nice about them, we were talking about this earlier, they're a bit of bike jewelry. Anodized aluminum fronts with a variety of different symbols and patterns. Take us through what some of those look like.
Okay, with the blinder fours, we have a four-dot pattern, an arrow pattern, a GT stripe, a cross, and a circle. The way we look at it is they're accessories for your bike. So you go there, you go, I want the red anodized or the black one or the GT stripe because I feel like going faster, and it brings some, I suppose, accessorizing element to your bike. And saying that, they sit beautifully on your bike. So they're sympathetic and designed to make your bike look, you know, as kick-ass as it does. Yeah.
So personality and safety all in one. You've also got a really bright rear light as well. Talk to us about that.
We've got the Blinder 4V, and this is, I suppose, our first step into something that's very road-specific. So it's a narrow profile. Again, it has a 120-degree lens, which bends light, so you get a very broad, sort of, I suppose, your ass is seen from a broad distance. And but from a profile, they're narrow. They sit slim on the seat post or sometimes on the frame, and they're designed to, I suppose, blend in with your bike.
Plans in the future for a road headlight as well?
Yes, yeah. The Blinder range is something that's really stepped up in quality. As I said, they're solid. And we're stepping from 2B scene lights into what we're calling the Blinder Road, which will be lights to see for training early morning for sort of your night ride, so you can see the road ahead through the dyke spaces.
So something that we'll see perhaps at Interbike this year?
In a secret room, we'll see it at Interbike, but it'll be launched officially next year at Frostbike. Nice.
Okay. Well, what about price points on some of these lights we've just discussed?
Price points, the Blinders start with a Blinder 1, which is a fun USB rechargeable waterproof light that has, you know, flower patterns, love heart patterns, dot patterns. It sits at $29.95. The Blinder 4, which runs at 80 lumens, sits at $44.95. And yeah, that's where we sit.
Let's talk about your locks. A variety of locks for really almost a variety of purposes. Let's start first with your smallest, lightest lock.
Yeah, this is, we've got a lock here called the Melkman. It's 110 grams. It's a deterrent lock. In Australia, the where you get your groceries, your milk and your bread and so on, it's called a milk bar. So it's a deterrent lock for when you need to go to the restroom, when you're dropping in for a coffee and you just want to sort of deter people from running away with your $3,500 something or more beautiful sort of steed. So that's called the Melkman. It has 900 mil cable, sits really well in your jersey pocket. And yeah, it's cute, sweet, simple, straight.
Yeah, so it's, for those of you who aren't seeing it, and of course we'll have pictures on the website, it's sort of a square, retractable cable, and available in a variety of different colors. Probably as light as putting the power bar or the cliff bar in your pocket, so that's really nice. Where do we go from there?
From there, we have sausage locks. Sausage locks are cable locks. They come in three sizes. Basically, they're called sausages because we've over-molded silicon, so they become one complete piece. We've got a 6mm, a 10mm, and a 12mm cable across, so I suppose, various security levels and different weights. And they come in 12 colours. They range from $24.95 through to $49.95. And
One of the things about Nog, and we're going to talk about a couple of other locks as well, is I need to encourage you to go to our website and to go to the Nog website, because so much of what makes your product special is function, certainly, and the function is all definitely there and superior in a lot of ways to what you see in other brands, but also design. I know that you've got a design background. It seems to me that I realize you're hearing this, but you've got to see the product. So make sure you go to the website. What's the next lock we want to look at?
Next lock, we've got two high security locks. We've got one called the Bouncer. It's a silicon overmolded and polycarbonate double barrel high security lock. It's got a very nice a little bit like a clicking sound. It sits at $49.95. It's designed to fit in your back pocket or in your bag. And I suppose at the high security, ultimate high security level, we've got one called the Strongman. It comes with a bike bracket. It's a silicon overmolded U-lock with a twin locking mechanism, high security replaceable key. And a quieter sound. And it's the lock you would use in New York.
Yeah.
And the Bouncer is the one you just roll with every day.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of New York.
New York. We have two chain, our version of the, chain locks. We've got the straight jackets. One's called the Fatty and one's called the Skinny. And they're a chain lock one. The Skinny sits at $22.95. The Fatty sits at $32.95. And they're a good, low-cost, high-security locking option for your bike.
Sure. One of the things I also noticed here in the suite is the point of purchase displays, which are really nice. They explain the product. They're easy for the dealer to display. But beyond the point of purchase, which is very nice, the packaging is a bit unique as well. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. As you were saying, design is in our DNA, and we want to bring a point of difference to everything we do. And also with the packaging, which is for us, it's a design object. So the packaging, apart from, I suppose, being beautiful to look at and frame the product, it's fully recyclable and biodegradable. So we're using sugarcane pulp, which is waste material, to design the case, and using PET because PET is fully recyclable as well.
Really, really nice. All right. Besides going to our website, where can people find the products? Where can they get more information?
Well, we love talking to people, so drop us an email. We'll point you in the right direction. So just go to www.nog.com.au and get in touch with us, because we're open and friendly.
Excellent. Mike, thank you so much. It's great learning about and taking the folks through the line.
Thank you. It's been great. Cheers.
And that's going to do it for our two episodes of interviews from the 2012 edition of Bike Press Camp. We also did a couple of videos with Byron from Bike Hugger. So go look for those at www.bikehugger.com. And I took a bunch of photos as well, and I'll get those up on the website very, very shortly at www.thefredcast.com. Now, before we leave, I'd be remiss if I did not thank our show sponsor, Jensen USA, at jensenusa.com/thefredcast. I keep telling you, anything you're looking for your cycling needs, they've got an amazing selection of products at some unbeatable prices with the best customer service in the industry. Want an example of great prices? Once again, go to their website and look at those Jamis XCT bikes that are going for between 30 and 37% off. You just can't beat those prices. Go ahead and check it out. It's jensenusa.com/thefredcast, or go to www.thefredcast.com and click the Jensen USA link on the right-hand side of the page. Well, that's it for these two episodes from Bike Press Camp. If you'd like to send me an email, please do so at thefredcast@gmail.com, or feel free to leave an audio comment on our Fredcast listener hotline, 661-513-3733. We'll be back with another episode of the Fredcast very, very soon, because guess what? July is right around the corner, and the Tour de France is starting in less than 48 hours from right now. Can you believe it's back already? So you know we're going to be giving lots of coverage in the month of July, so check your iTunes and RSS feeds. We're going to be having a lot of fun in July. And wow, the Olympics are right around the corner, and then the Tour of Utah, and whoa, Interbike is coming. There's just too much going on. So please stay tuned. Tell your friends, tell your riding buddies about the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. We'll be back very, very soon with another episode of the show. But between this show and the next, enjoy the music, but most of all, enjoy the ride.